losing and winning matters, right? So there's consequences to losing, right? Right?
Right.
So that means consequences need change.
Friends, listeners, and newcomers, it is me, Eric B. They call me the Raw Dog. But today, I am here on Smack Dat. That's right, the Raw Dog and the Puppy in Crime have taken over SmackDown for a Friday night. Randy is joining me. Randy, say hi to all the fine folks in Radioland.
I am Optimus Prime.
Hey, everybody, it's me, Randy C. And yeah, it's a different night, but as usual, we're powered by something. We are powered by D-Law, live audio wrestling, with your hosts, Brady Wedham and Chris Tidwell, where they go over each and every week, the week's wrestling, MMA, boxing, mixed martial arts. This week, they had Eric Young on it. I can't wait till next week's interview. But yes, the Law, live audio wrestling on the SNME Radio Network. And we're also powered by Captain Crunch. Yes, Captain Crunch, because we are part of the Crunch Crew. Insert music here.
I'm bored. We need something to jam to. Crunch Crew! Crunch. Can't stop till we're through. We're the Crunch Crew, and Crunch is what we do. We're hanging out, trying to make it happen. Crunch Crunch! Here steps the caffeine.
Your crew, the Crunch is super fat.
Munching that crunch, you know where it's
Listen, this is the Crunch Crew, and Crunch is what we do. Folks, if you're as crazy as I am, and you have been so enthralled by a commercial that aired probably, I don't know, at this point, over 30 years ago, for whatever reason, I was telling Randy earlier, I had this whole thing in my head about Captain Crunch and the Crunch Crew. So if any of our listeners know what the Crunch Crew is besides me, and I'm just not a maniac, like, please help me out here, because Randy had literally no idea, and he thought it was probably one of the wackiest things that I brought up so far. I mean, in our form of friendship, what do you think? Wackiest?
Oh, 100%, because we weren't talking about this at all, and then all you do is break out in song about this Crunch Crew, blah, 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 and I said, are you drinking? I know it's a Friday night. I know it's a good day for wrestling. It's not a usual night we do this. I know you like to go out on Friday nights, but I also want to give a big shout-out to the Smack Daddies. They're getting well-deserved week off. These guys hustle, hustle, hustle. They are the East Coast tag team champions of the podcast world, but we're stepping up for them. So does this make us number one contenders? Hey, Sean Burkhead. But yes, Brad, Greg, enjoy your night off.
Yeah, enjoy a night off, guys, for sure. You got, I mean, they listen, Brad covered our butts for sure when I was in Mexico for that little while there. So big ups, mad appreciation. Definitely enjoy your night off. And I got to say, Randy, I don't know, like, you made a comment one of these past couple of weeks ago about how grateful you are to review Monday Night Raw. And after this episode of SmackDown, I was kind of feeling the exact same way. I was like, yeah, we got a good roster going on right now on Raw. And to see that potentially change in this upcoming draft, it's going to be something, man. It is definitely going to be something. But what do you say? I mean, we always talk about our week so much on, you know, the Draw Straws review. I mean, there's only so much that we can talk about ourselves. Should we talk about wrestling, or what do you think? What do you think?
I think we should talk a little about wrestling, because you know what? This 2 hours, I was glued. I was enthused. I was excited. We had a good episode of Raw this week, but this SmackDown, Raw wasn't full of surprises, but this SmackDown, holy crow, 2 hours, did they get a lot in? And man, was I surprised. So yes, let's get into this week's episode of SmackDown.
Yeah, that 2 hours flies by in comparison to the three. That is 100% true. And that's going to start with Randy's prediction that Cody was going to come out and do a 30-minute promo. He does come out. Cody comes out first. He is out there in the LCD Arena in Detroit, the sold-out LCD Arena in Detroit. Raw selling out for its upteenth week in a row. SmackDown and Raw continue to sell out week after week in these large venues, just showing how powerful the brand is, how dominant the brand is right now in the world of wrestling. You deserve it, Chance. Start, to the dismay of at least, I don't know, 8 like listeners on the SNME Facebook group. Randy, did you see that whole thread about people being so angry about the "you deserve it" chance?
Yeah, that's kind of weird, eh? Don't get me wrong. It is used a lot, even in indie wrestling as of late. But yeah. Only 8 people doing it and all saying the same thing. So I guess maybe they might be right. That's like batting 100%, right?
Yeah. Well, 1,000. There's a lot of people. There was adverse opinions to that too. But like, I don't know. I guess the point was brought up that sometimes it could be discrediting to other champions that didn't get that "you deserve it" chant. But I don't think that's the case at all. I just think that we have to like what we like and just enjoy wrestling, right? That's what this is all about. So
100%.
Cody breaks down Monday Night Raw a little bit here, and he's talking about how The Rock came out to ruin his celebration. And Cody asks, in the great words of a great Detroit man, "Who told you it was open night, Mike? Bitch." He got away with saying "bitch" on PG. PG, Randy. I guess "bitch" is okay. What do you think?
Fox. Yeah. "Bitch" is okay after 8 p.m. on Fox. Yes, 100%.
On Fox, yeah. Well, on Netflix, is that shit going to fly or what?
Oh, 100%. 10,000%. Oh, yeah. I could almost put money on that.
Yeah, you're right. There's a lot of stuff on Netflix going on. There's a lot of swearing. There's a lot of adult content, serious content happening. So, yeah, I think that's going to be just fine. Just a little bit of swearing going on there. But he does mention the hot ticket item that we were talking about on the Draw Straws review, and they were talking about on The Law, about the item that was handed to him by The Rock. And he does agree that as soon as The Rock handed to him, he knew exactly what it was. And it was a memento that he had handed The Rock, a war relic, as he had so called it. So, Randy, do you still think that it's the bus keys?
Well, did I say the bus keys on Raw?
You said it potentially could be like the bus key. Like, that's what you potentially thought, right? But
yeah, 100%. I don't know where it's going now, because all 3 of my predictions could be possibly wrong. It still could be the Rolex, but I don't know. We'll see, because there's a lot of, again, like I said, a lot of surprises tonight. So we might be surprised. It could be a war relic. He was at war at one time with MJF. He was at war with his bus. It was on fire.
It would be pretty funny if it was the ring and we were talking about war relics and it was something that he gifted The Rock. Like, for what reason would he have gifted The Rock that, right? So yeah, I like it. We're talking about long-term storytelling, and exactly to all the points that you made, The Rock has gone to Hollywood. He's going back to filming, and Cody made those points about that as well. So really great quick promo here, just about 15, 16 minutes. So Randy, you didn't get that 30 minutes. I guess that's the difference between having 3 hours to run for or 2 hours to run for, right? Still got to get some wrestling in there some way.
Exactly. Yeah, it was pretty quick. It was to the point. Come at the king, you better not miss, blah 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 blah. It was pretty quick. It was just a general standard promo to start out the night. Wasn't as hot as I thought it was going to be, but
yeah,
trust me, the ball does roll in this episode.
I was thinking that it was like an introduction of Cody to SmackDown, you know, as champion, because right now we're seeing him work brand by brand, match by match, you know, number one you know, opponent's number one competitor, whatever you want to call it. So we're seeing him on all brands. And it was a good quick introduction of champion Cody to SmackDown.
That's right. And putting over the guys on the on both of the three ways that we see tonight. So, yes, most definitely.
It's Friday night. Up and comers. It's Friday night at 11 o'clock, and we're talking about three ways and up and comers. Randy. Randy's on those blue pills, folks. We are having a good time.
That's it.
Backstage, we're going to go quickly here, and Paul Heyman is there with the Bloodline. That is just actually going to be Jimmy and Solo there tonight, and Paul is talking about the importance of winning and losing, and Solo is listening on longingly. Like Randy said, there's a lot of stuff that happens later on in the evening, a lot of great surprises, a lot of fun things that happen. So some seeds have definitely been planted there, or as Randy also coined it, they have started to draw the pictures.
Draw pictures. Yes. Etch a sketch.
Etch a sketch of storyline pictures, and we're good to go. All right. First match of the night is going to be L.A. Knight versus Lashley and Santos Escobar for a shot at the Universal Champion or potential shot at the Universal Championship, depending on who wins the main event tonight. And they will face them next week. Saul definitely wanted Santos Escobar to win. As soon as I saw Saul write that in the chat, I was like, yeah, I wish you the best.
Yes, exactly. Especially like, with who is in the match, too.
I was like, wahoo, as soon as I saw that. Because honestly, for the whole start of the match here, at least, you know, half of it, Lashley is just completely dominating. We finally get a point there where LA Knight does his pop up into the corner, tries to go for a superplex on Santos, but they are caught in the tower, one man tower of doom spot that is completed by Bobby Lashley with that power bomb. So we're getting some fun spots here. Legado, the Phantasma interrupts. They are taking out LA Knight. Lashley gets back into the ring until the numbers game finally works out in their favor. But here come the Street Profits to even things out. Street Profits are really over actually right now on SmackDown. Like, we don't get to watch SmackDown too often. Like, I really don't watch it because we do so much of the Raw review and other stuff. So to see how over they are now, it was like, wow, surprising.
Yeah, I like them with Lashley. I think it's a good little faction there. It should definitely be more over than it is. But yeah, no, it was good. A lot of tomfoolery in this match. Tomfoolery, I tell you. But three
honestly,
ways.
Yeah. Shenanigans, balderdashery, all that type of stuff going on here. Three ways we come to expect that. LA Knight finally takes the W off of BFT to Santos Escobar after he miffs up Lashley's spear attempt. And that is the end of the match. So LA Knight is going on next week to face the winner of the main event.
Yeah, great little match to start. Looking at it, when I seen the preview card this evening, I was like, I don't know. But you know what I mean? It did serve more than expectation, and I was happy with this to start the night.
Yeah, it was a good start to the night. I don't want to say it was a hot start to the night. And like you said, too, the promo from Cody, too, was also just right. It wasn't like the opening that we had on Raw, but... I mean, it's a different story when The Rock shows up, right? Different story when The Rock shows up, Cena shows up. It doesn't mean that we don't get those surprises tonight, just in a different way.
Yeah, things start heating up now.
Absolutely. I mean, backstage right away, we go to the LWO, they're chatting, and Rey starts talking about how he wants one more world title run. And I'm like, my God, Rey Mysterio, you, first of all, you ageless male. Second of all, the guy still moves in the ring like he did like 15 years ago, if not better. It's just wild how this guy has such longevity in his career and he continues to help build, you know, new stars with this faction. So God, like Randy, is like Rey Mysterio maybe one of the most underrated wrestlers of all time?
Yeah, most definitely. He longevity and everything else like that. I can't believe his face looks the same like 30 years ago. His hair is the same. Everything else, like his total head, he's wearing a mask. But of all the Mexico, all the Mexican wrestlers out there that do age a little, get a little. Don't get me wrong. He's getting a little pudgy. He is getting up there, but he still moves around really good for his age. And yes, yeah, definitely in the top 25 of all time.
Yeah, listen, after a little while, like, time is going to do stuff to us, right? Time will ravage our bodies or whatever you want to call it. But It's good to go. Anyways, backstage again. Sorry, back in the ring here. Solo and Paul and Jimmy are here to discuss the Bloodline business. They do not blame Cena, The Undertaker, or anybody else like Jay for their loss. But Solo does mention, you know, winning and losing has its consequences. And winning and losing with consequences maybe comes change. And that brings in a surprise guest. And guess what, Randy? It's Tama Tonga. And the fans are really over for it. The fans are really into it for whatever reason. What do you think about Tama Tonga?
Oh, Tama Tonga. Fuck, the Gorilla's a destiny. That's all I got to say. He's now part of the Bloodline. Gorillas of Destiny was one of my favorite tag teams in New Japan. Tama Tonga is an absolute beast. And boy, when he came in and took off that hood, that dude is all jacked up on Mountain Dew. But in turn, Solo, when he opened his mouth, we don't hear much from Solo. And when he gave that line, I was like invested all in. Paul Heyman's face dropped. Like, you know what I mean? Like, am I going to die here? What's going on? And then when the look at Jimmy happened, I was like, uh-oh, something's going down.
Yeah, absolutely. And something definitely went down. So that's an introduction that a lot of people were waiting for. And we're going to see how that goes. It's going to continue to build the Bloodline story. And that's cool. All right. Speaking about, you know, further surprises, here comes Cameron Grimes out to the ring with a surprise opponent, and it's Bron Breakker. Everybody wanted Bron on Raw, and we got him on SmackDown. Bron just completely squashes Cameron Grimes here via spear for the win.
Bron Breakker, the man, the squash master. He's the new Brock, just coming in and destroying everybody.
Listen, if he's not squashing people, then there's no point of him being there. Like, if he is not having those quick squash matches, those Goldberg kind of style matches, then it's not playing to this the most of his strengths.
100%. Poor Cameron Grimes, though. That clothesline he took, too. He took it solid, making Braun look like a star. The only,
yeah,
I will
Braun,
say,
Braun doesn't pull any punches, man.
No. The only thing I don't like about Braun, and tell me if I'm wrong, his gear. If you're wearing, like, flashy, orangey color bright color gear, it doesn't make you look mean to me. But
no,
dude is a mean dude.
I get it. It's a Steiner callback, but yeah, there's better gear choices that he could definitely be having, and all the colors definitely don't work for the kind of evil mean dude that we're trying to portray here on screen. But it's still working. It's still working. Speaking about something that is currently really working, here comes Bayley to talk about her title win. Bayley is getting Bayley chants from the fans for the first time in a long time. Bayley looks like $1 million, Randy.
100%, 100%. I know where you're going with this, and I'm not falling in the trap, but yes, she did look good as a champ tonight.
Be quiet, be quiet. Listen, it's 11 o'clock at night here, and if we get there, Randy, we can get there. But yes, okay. Bayley looked like $1 million in the ring. She looks great as a champion, and for the brand, I think that she's definitely the right choice right now. She owes it all to the fans. She even says, you know, Michael Cole would make fun of her for saying that, but she's going to say it anyways. I like it. Speaking about looking like $1 million, here comes Tiffy time to come ahead and challenge. I like how Tiffy comes out. Tiffany Stratton is definitely somebody who should be pushed towards the upper echelon in a little bit of a slow rise, but definitely still pushed nonetheless. She's awesome. It's great. She wants to challenge Bayley for the championship. Here comes a vacuum of charisma as Naomi's music hits.
That was good. That was good.
And the former TNA Knockouts champion, Naomi, aka Trinity, comes down to the ring. She is glowing, folks, and they have themselves a fight. Oh, man. Randy, I don't know what it is about Naomi, Trinity, whatever it is. But yeah, I don't see it, man. I don't see it. Like, she's definitely a glorified mid-carder on WWE level. Right, which means that she was absolutely a champion in TNA. Like, has to happen. But I'm disconnected from her entirely. What do you think? I understand why she's there. Okay. I understand why she's there. You need diversity within your brand, and you absolutely need somebody. And she's very talented. I'm not saying that she's not. It just she can't talk. And if we're talking about the greatest champions of all time, we're talking about, you know, people like The Rock, who can talk and carry a promo, Bret Hart, who can talk and carry a promo in a storyline. So Naomi's probably never going to be able to do that. Am I wrong in saying that?
No, you're not wrong in saying it. I listen, Tama Tonga come out and I popped. I was jumping with my bad back and all.
Yeah.
I still sleep well, but my bad back. Then Tiff comes out and I was like, this is great. Congratulations, Tiff, blah, 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 blah. Like in my, just jumping all over the place. No, it's well-deserved. She definitely deserves to be up there because she is a star. She put the work in hard in a very short time. And then, like you said, Naomi came out. Nothing against Naomi. Nothing, but it
she's
just
the Natalia. She's the Natalia of the SmackDown brand.
It, like you said, it vacuumed the air out of the room. I was like, oh, like, can we see Tiff and Bailey? No, God, no. But when you, after you explain the match, I'll explain the reason why even it got me more angry. Not for Bailey, not for, well, for Tiffany too. But yeah, go ahead, explain the match and I'll explain it after.
Well, I'll tell you what, Randy. You tell me more about this match here. What did this match look like to you as far as watching it from start to finish? What did you think about, you know, the performance of Tiffany Stratton? Because I have my opinions there. And Naomi as well, of course.
Well, Tiffany Stratton did a lot of stuff in this match, and it looked like it seemed like Naomi was directing the match, but Tiff had it down pat. There was a lot of spots where they should be in the corner, so on and so forth. It did. I'm not saying the match was bad in standards comparably to other matches that we've seen. This the match was good and fine, and it put over Tiff like it should be. But Naomi, if you are listening, stop putting on those goddamn rakes for eyelashes.
Oh,
because I don't know if you noticed this, Eric, all through the match, she couldn't see. And then finally, at one point, she rips those rakes off. And I only knew that because there was a sound when they hit the ground, when she ripped them off 7/8 through the match. But she kept playing with her eyes. Now, number one thing with wrestling, for women's wrestling, and I know this for a fact, Triple H doesn't like, I know Shawn Michaels doesn't like, and everybody that was ever, make sure your gear is good. Do not play with your gear. Now, when you have eyelashes that big, the size of rakes, that is your gear. So make sure they are fine or don't have them at all. But rewind. The match was fine for what it was. I think Tiff looked great. And yeah, go ahead, tell the ending, but not the person we want wins.
No, and you know what, Randy? I just wanted to make a quick point here before we talk about the ending. And that is to your point there about Tiffany having all of this and Naomi kind of guiding the match. I really felt like it was almost like an indie style match when you bring in like a big name talent and Tiffy is like your de facto champion or your de facto like Jody threat, for example, right? Which is a good Ontario based example. And you bring in a big star like a Naomi and she has to put her over, but it doesn't mean that she's not guiding the match the whole time. So Tiffany is definitely at the point where she's eventually going to be over. Well, she's already over, right?
Yeah. It's just wildly unfortunate how this match went. But in turn, again, it was good. She looked good. Just unfortunately, Tiffany loses. Naomi rolls Stratton into a Jack Knight cover for the win. It was absolutely not the finish I wanted to see, but no. Tiff still looked like a star.
Yeah, exactly. And she's definitely there. She's definitely there.
That's right. That's right.
So, yeah, we didn't see what we wanted to see here, but it doesn't mean that we're not going to see it very soon. And obviously, Naomi has to have some, I don't know, I don't want to call it a push, but she has to have some type of validity being back on this brand now. And this is probably where it is.
100%.
All right. Next match of the night. Next match of the night. Should we talk about?
Yeah.
All right. It's a really fun one. It's super exciting and it's super long. It is going to be Chelsea and Piper versus Jade and Bianca Belair. Oh, my God. Once again, Jade is there to squash and poor Chelsea Green getting another pin, looking like $1 million. I showed my mom, actually, a picture of Jade Cargill, and I was like, you got to look at this girl. Like, I showed her the video of the match, her introduction, and I was like, you got to see this girl because she is definitely a future star. And my mom was like, holy shit.
100%. When she walks into the room, all you hear is machines printing money. It is absolutely, and her teaming up with Bianca, like, obviously something's going to happen later on or whatever, but we're a tag team right now with those two, the two probably strongest women, no, the two probably strongest humans in the WWE, and they're put together, it's like having two Braun Breakers beside each other. It's like having Andre the Giant and Hulk Hogan in women beside each other. There's nothing that should be able to beat them, and I hope they go on with this for a while, because just like Braun Breaker, Jade Cargill should be squashing everybody. And big up to Chelsea Green, because her acting and her facial expressions during this match and everything else was fantastic. Chelsea Green is an underrated woman superstar.
Yeah, no, she absolutely is. She leans into the whole thing. We even saw the whole on Raw, the prostitute joke that was brought out there after the whole debacle of the hotel. Obviously, you heard about that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Being mistaken for a prostitute at the hotel. Oh, my God. Yeah, well, I mean, it's a, like, Randy is definitely one of Chelsea Green's biggest fans, honestly, 100%. At this point. We hear this constantly about how Chelsea Green is always great from Randy. And literally, she really is, guys. She's there for like 2 to 3 minutes per week, making it from Raw to SmackDown this week, getting paid. We love it. Getting paid, and Matt Cardone is getting laid.
There you go.
At least we think, right?
I think so, because he brags about it on a Major Figure Podcast all the time.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's so that was that for that match.
but yeah, it was just more or less Cargill hits the Jaded for the win, like right off the bat. Really, really good.
Sexy pin, quick sexy pin, right? No, honestly, the way that she hits the move and she can turn it over for the pin and the new lick that she does, it's all brilliant. I love it. It's great. She's the best, and I love it.
She's a star.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Randy, so we are moving from that. We are going to the main event, of the evening. But it's not delayed. Sorry, it is not quickly brought to us, because Kevin Owens is backstage and he's walking around. He's got a Detroit Tigers belt. Oh, my God. WWE is doing everything in their fucking power to try to push those Fanatics belts. Randy, would you ever get a Buffalo Bills championship belt?
I would get two. Eric, thank you for asking. Why? Christmas is this year. We're doing some draw. Raw gift exchange, or we should do an SNME gift exchange. And yeah, hint, guys, that's what I definitely want. And it's the perfect thing to do. Fanatics definitely taking over and making these merch sales go absolutely insane. So why not promote it?
Hey, as long as they're not Seattle Seahawks belts, then we're good to go, right?
I like the Seahawks too, though.
Unacceptable. Unacceptable.
As long as they're not Dallas Cowboys. Right, Sean Burkhead?
Oh, my God. Oh, poor Sean. Sean's taking the L. Sean's taking the L since the mid-90s, unfortunately, as a Dallas Cowboys fan. Back in the days of Dion and Michael Irving and Troy Aikman. I mean, listen, that was wild, wild roster, bro. Emmett, come on. All right, stop. I'm getting sidetracked. I'm getting completely sidetracked here. Main event, Kevin Owens versus the most jacked version of AJ Styles you've ever seen. My God, somebody, like, we don't see AJ Styles every week. Of course I saw him at WrestleMania, but to see him like in this match and to see that somebody just literally took like an inflatable balloon pump, put it right into his muscles and just pumped for like 50 minutes mid, like right before this match. This guy's jacked. How is AJ Styles this big, Randy? Like, honestly, there's got to be something going on here.
Back knee. Must I explain it to you? Must I explain it to you? I love AJ Styles, but yes, the man is a jacked man.
Back knee is the best. Oh my God. Yes, yeah, it's definitely there. It's definitely there. There's a Zach Patterson can definitely help him about that. Zach Patterson, if you're listening, that's a shout out to you. Definitely not listening. But all right, main event of the evening, Kevin Owens versus AJ Styles. We get a good match here, but as I'm watching this match, I'm like, okay, they literally took two guys that lost at WrestleMania and were like, go ahead and fight each other for the main event tonight. This will be the hottest part of the evening. Can you tell that I wasn't too hot about it?
No, I can definitely tell because you have been pausing a little bit and you're not as excited as me. You know what? I did definitely enjoy this match. It was better than I thought, right? Just I was so pumped the whole episode. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying this last match here. Well, I guess it did sort of vacuum cleaner the room a little for me until the ending. The ending was pretty good of the match, but please explain. That's so funny. Yeah, you want me to explain it?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Again,
you know where I am on this one at this point, and you're wanting me to explain it in grave detail.
Okay,
sitting here and I'm like, okay, this main event was okay. You know, it was serviceable. But Randy thinks that it was a 5-star classic, and I want to hear.
Whoa! I never said that. I said it was a great episode, good wrestling, and everything. Yeah. So, yeah. A lot of stuff happened. Again, the exchanges from all three men. Right. So everybody has to take control of it. Owens walks into a seated senton from Mysterio off the apron. A whole bunch of different things happened. Kevin Owens did the German suplex to Mysterio and Styles at the same time, which was kind of cool. Coming up to the ending, Owens tries a swanton, but Styles gets his knees up. Now, this ending move was pretty cool. The Styles clash off the top rope on Mysterio. So Kevin Owens to Mysterio, crushing Owens. It was great finish of the match. AJ, weird winner, because I honestly thought I thought Rey Mysterio was going to win first, then second being Kevin Owens, not AJ, but AJ taking the win over these two, setting up the match, AJ Styles versus LA Knight. Yeah, for next Friday, a good match to look forward to next Friday, especially with what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. But I agree with you, especially when they planted the seeds of Rey Mysterio saying that he's ready for one more title run. I thought he would definitely at least get that face versus face match there with LA Knight for that opportunity. We've seen in wrestling, you know, more and more that face versus heel dynamics are not necessary, right? And a lot of the time, we don't even see those face versus heel dynamics develop until we really have a true storyline in play, right? Because sometimes we see faces doing heel shit and we see heels doing face shit. And we're like, what's going on here, right? Like, why would a face be winning a match, you know, with a chair? Like, that's some heel shit, right?
100%.
But it doesn't mean that fans aren't going to still cheer for it. So, yeah, guys, that was Friday Night SmackDown. Randy, I got to say, man, and this is going to sound really weird, I missed that third hour. I was like, dude, there's so much more that they can do with the show, and matches could have gotten some more time. I definitely missed that third hour.
Wow. But are you asking me what I think of this episode, Eric?
Oh, you want me to ask you? We're doing that for this too, for SmackDown.
Yeah, we'll do it. We'll just
okay,
just
Randy.
So because he does, they do their old little synopsis, right? SmackDown synopsis. So we'll keep in this corner to see how I thought of this episode.
Well, in the graces of Father Greg and Brad the Dad, Randy. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that, Randy. What did you think about this episode of SmackDown?
Eric B., what did Randall, don't ever say it again, what did Randy think of this week's episode of WWE SmackDown? Shout out to the SmackDaddies, the East Coast tag team champions of the world. I will tell you, welcome to In This Corner.
Welcome to In This Corner with Zane.
Randy. Well, Eric, I really enjoyed it. The real fast 2 hours. And this is what I like about wrestling. You start off a little hot. So you had Cody Rhodes, right? You had that little speech that he had. It was very, very short. Then you lead right into Solo Sikoa speaking. So it elevates it a little. And Tama Tonga coming out. The surprises that we had tonight, Tama Tonga, Tiffany Stratton, Jade Cargill with Bianca Belair. Now, peaks and valleys, right? So there was definitely a peak about 7/8 through this show tonight. Coming a little down at the end match, like, I don't know. I would have finished probably with Solo and Tama Tonga coming out with the Bloodline, but I'm not the booker, and that's why they're doing so well right now. But I definitely... Brad and Greg, you took the week off with all these surprises. I'm sorry we're taking this over from you this week, but I definitely enjoyed this week's episode of SmackDown. 1.5 thumbs up, Eric B. 1.5 thumbs up.
Nice, man. I like it. I like it a lot. And I like even more that Randy stayed up late with me tonight to go ahead and do this episode. I want to say thank you to Brad and Greg for allowing us to use their space to go ahead and put this out here as well. Us at the network, we always got each other's back. So you'll see us sometimes in different places and almost interchangeable. But I also have to give a huge kudos to Randy for all of the work that he did to make this potentially one-time episode happen. So Randy, you are fucking amazing in every sense of the way. I love you. You're the man.
I love you too, Eric B, and thank you. And it takes a team. This is why we are the number one contenders, in order to make things work. And we are a team. Yes. Again, thank you, Brad and Greg. Thank you, everybody. Rob, I sent you a message saying, hey, surprise, dude, come listen to us tonight. Thank you for that. Go follow Sunday Night's Main Event at sundaynightsmainevent.com. Or go on the Facebook page, join the group. Just look up SNME Radio. We have a Patreon, patreon.com/SNME Radio, where you can get tons of shows, not just the SmackDown. You can get Draw Straws Raw. You can get the main show, Sunday Night's Main Event. You can get The Law, live audio wrestling. You can get Steve Swift's rambling reviews. You can get George Mackay and Straight Talk Wrestling. It's a plethora. Andre and Melball, right? A plethora of wrestling shows, and they are all fantastic. But thank you again for everything.
My mind is blown. Honestly, Randy always has the shows there. Did we say All Elite Geekly as well?
And Dax, sorry guys.
Well, I mean, we kind of forgot about AEW, like a lot of people forgot about AEW after Wednesday. So,
well, no tribalism on this show.
Oh, tribalism. Oh, wait a minute. No, listen, guys. All right, that's a conversation for next Monday or Tuesday, ain't it, Randy?
That's it, 100%.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for listening. If you wanted to bother me, you can send me a message on Facebook or Instagram. Wrestling with Eric on Instagram. No W, no G. You can reach Randy as well through the Facebook group or through his social media. What is it? Instagram or Twitter or X?
X. Yes, sir. I am adopted.
That is Randy's. So thank you so much for listening to the show. We hope you guys have a great week. Have an amazing weekend. Until the next time, please take care of yourselves and each other and continue to live your lives impactfully.
Live, laugh, and love wrestling. Watch this. I got this button right this time.
Deuces. Yeah. Yeah. Gates. Who's it gonna be? The one with the big head right there? Cody Rhodes. Acknowledge me. Was about 5 minutes longer than most of you last in bed, so shut it. Cut the music.
I'm Chiquita Banana, and I've come to say bananas have to ripen in a certain way. And when they're flecked with brown and have a golden hue, bananas taste the best and are the best for you. You can put them in a salad. No, not yet, my dear. That greenish way you're looking means that you are ripe for cooking.
How about me?
No, no. When you are fully ripe, my dear, those little flecks of brown appear.
Me?
You're most digestible, my friend. Delicious, too, from end to end. You can put them in a pie. Any way you want to eat them. It's impossible to beat them. But bananas like the climate of the very, very tropical equator. So you should never put bananas in the refrigerator. Bananas are a solid food that doctors now include in baby's diet. And since they are so good for baby, I think we all should try it.
Oh!
See, 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 see.